Fanboys and Friends podcast presents.
Tried to do everything myself.
Red 5 Transmissions Radio.
Just reduced Kanan's targets by half. Tell our fearless leader he should be able to handle one lone TIE fighter on his own. What was that?
In a time of darkness, when fear ruled the galaxy, heroes will rise, destinies will collide.
Who is that kid?
And a rebellion will ignite.
Get ready.
Now!
A round table discussion about Star Wars Rebels.
If all you do is fight for your own life, then your life is worth nothing.
Get back up there and fix the shield. Wait, are you fighting stormtroopers?
What makes you say that?
Dude, I'm that kid. You kidding? This is a blast.
Now, join the rebellion as it is time for Red 5 Transmissions Radio.
Folks, and with that, welcome to the second proper episode. We're in the series now, people, of Red 5 Trend. I'm host Davidson, and with me joining this rebellion on the Ghost or the Phantom or the Falcon, doesn't matter really, as long as it goes, you know, faster than light speed, Matt Clifton. Matt, welcome back.
Hello, good to be back.
All right, well, an episode, I would say, droids in distress.
Big time.
Now, before we dive into the episode, people, let me perfectly clear, no cakes or saws are in the midst of this recording.
Thank goodness.
All right, so Matt, first impression of the episode.
Wow. Just wow. Talk about firing on all cylinders. I mean, this one just gives you a little bit of everything.
Oh, absolutely. Let's see. And to start off, we get a recreation of that shot in Empire.
Oh, absolutely. With the TIE fighters chasing the ghost away?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
And, you know, it actually fits perfectly in the George Lucas model of things because he would always dump you in the middle of something, and you'd have to play catch-up.
Yes, yes.
And I kind of got that impression here because I'm watching the beginning of that awesome opening scene.
Absolutely.
You know, John Williams' music, everything.
Yes.
And I'm kind of going, wait, what did they do last week?
Exactly.
Did I miss something?
What mission is going on right now? What are they doing?
Yeah, so It's a very George Lucas model there.
Yes. Yes. And I tell you what, I got a really big kick out of, after they escape and all that, Hera just giving everybody a cold splash of reality. We're low on everything.
Oh, yes, yes. We're very low on food, fuel, everything right there. So
I love that.
That was kind of like, well, leave it to the green girl to put some sense in everything.
Yeah, but the cool thing is you see this kind of thing in these type of shows, in like Outlaws in Space kind of thing. You know, birds got to fly, people got to eat, and that stuff costs money.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And Kanan brings up, we could always take Visago's job.
Yeah.
And Zeb's like, so we're arms dealers again? And more like arms redistributors. And you know what, Matt? When he said that, I had a moment. I'm like, you've been hanging out with Anakin when you were a Padawan, weren't you? You're sounding like him.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a cool part.
You know, because I hear that line, and I know it's coming out of Freddie Prinze Jr.'s mouth, but all I can hear is Matt Lanter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that is not Hayden Christensen, Matt Lanter.
Yes, 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 yes.
So, just wanted to make that clear.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing against Hayden. I just heard it more out of Matt than Hayden.
Big time.
But I'm like, oh, I get, you know, now I just want to see a pool comic or a comic strip of Anakin and Kanan hanging out, you know, band back and forth, trading words.
That would be cool. That would be cool. It would be interesting to see if their paths ever crossed, but, you know, probably not, because Anakin was much older than Kanan at the time.
I don't know. We do have, and we'll talk about it later on in the show, mm-hmm. But we do have that prequel comic series.
True.
So we'll talk about that later, though.
Sure.
All right, so, and they go to the spaceport, or better yet, go to Star Tours.
Star Tours! Love it!
And you know what? Talk about a big bag of nostalgia bones. You took that bag of nostalgia bones and hit us in the face with it.
Totally ate that up. And Flight ST-45, we can have a good guess of what ST stands for.
Yes, well, I would have preferred it be Flight ST-2015.
Yes.
That would have been a little too on the nose, but you know what? We're nerds behind the microphone, so.
Yes.
We're so always good. Too on the nose.
It seemed Rex, or a Rex droid, and voiced by none other than Paul Reubens, reprising his role. Loved it.
Yes, like I said last episode, finally, Paul Reubens gets the justice he deserves.
It's all good. But how about that heist scene in the shuttle?
That was interesting.
Very, very intricate.
Very interesting. You know how I was saying before, you know, I think people overdo the Firefly connections and whatnot. But after watching Zeb, not just in Spark of Rebellion, but with this episode, he is totally Jane.
Yes, totally Jane. But the cool, another cool thing is, you get to see Zeb's big brother role in this episode.
Yep, you do. You definitely do.
Little glances between E and Sabine, and like when Sabine is laying on the cheese talking to the minister, he gives her that playful punch in the shoulder and she just kind of smiles at him. And then later on in the episode, when you see I guess Ezra and him share our roommates, they share a bunk or mm-hmm. a room, and he's kicking him out. I'm just like, get out of my room, squirt, it's my time.
Yes, I mean, you know, Ezra and Zeb, that's going to be a fun relationship as the series goes.
Yes.
I mean, we already saw one clip of it being a fun relationship, the extended version of A Look Ahead on the Spark of Rebellion Blu-ray.
Yes.
Sabine, you know what I'm talking about. Sabine painting the silly picture of Ezra and Zeb.
Yes. I love that.
Check out, and that had me laughing, and calling out Yoda for never making sense to Kanan.
Yes.
Like, that's good. It never made sense either.
Mm-hmm.
Yoda was a cool design, you know, cool cat. You know, could fight like a gremlin on steroids. But... he never made much sense.
No. That sage rule, you know, like the Dalai Lama or something.
Oh yeah, definitely. He's like Buddha, except with clothes.
There you go. But getting back on to that, the scene on the shuttle, that land, that heist was just, it was perfect. You had Ezra and Chopper caught in the scene and all that, and Kanan calls them out and complains to Rex. So Rex has to send the Chopper to the back, but then Ezra says, well, if Chopper's got to go, then those droids need to go too. So R2 and C-3PO go to the back, leaving the minister and Wabo vulnerable, and Sabine just chimes in and says, hey, I can translate for you. Pumps the Wabo and the Minister for Information feeds her false info while gathering the information that they need where the disruptors are. And this plan is just totally all figured out already and goes without a hitch. Loved it.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Let me just say, the Rebels got it figured out. Take that, George Clooney. I mean, it felt very Oceans.
Yeah.
So it felt very Ocean's 11 in that sense.
Yeah, very Ocean, very Ocean's 11.
Now,
I mean,
when Chopper and 3PO and R2 are in the back of the Star Tours tram again, yeah. I'm gonna, you know, be tripping out off show on how cool that is. But when they're in the back, that other droid we see, what is that? Is that an older McQuarrie 3PO?
Absolutely. Ah. Absolutely. Totally. Yep.
The green one in the corner that didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, very much an old McQuarrie early 3PO design.
Now, I want to talk about the design on 3PO in this episode. Why is it that his neck looks like something out of Doctor Who's Cybermen?
You find?
Yes, yes. I saw that, and all I kept thinking was the Cybermen from Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all I expected to see was a Dalek on the Star Tours tram going, exterminate!
I would totally be behind that if they squeezed a Dalek in there.
Especially if it was voiced by Stephen Stanton and somebody was throwing a peanut.
Oh, make it happen. Make it happen.
Come on, Dave. Make this happen. I'm sure you got Stephen Stanton on speed dial somewhere.
Yes.
Make this happen.
Make it happen.
And then on the Star Tours tram, you can throw in a horse head rebel fighter.
Yes, yes, yes.
Somewhere Stephen Stanton is like, why didn't I think of that?
love it.
And then, I don't know, it is Stephen, so you could have Sean Connery and George Bush drop by.
And, hey, throw in Uncle Morallo.
Exactly,
Let's
yes.
get Uncle Morallo in there telling some bedtime stories.
Yes, yes, yes. Just so, you know, just so Jason Swank can sleep better at night.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I think we found not an episode, but a recipe for a Rebels holiday special.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
And hopefully a better one. But I think we've learned a bit since that last holiday special.
Just a bit.
Just a bit. All right, so they pull off this heist. Zeb is a little freaked out over the weapons.
Mm-hmm.
They're disruptors that wiped out his people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Matt, what do you make of that? We actually got to see some... we're starting to see the background of these characters leak out. We're starting to slowly see it was Zeb. The wheels are turning.
Yes, absolutely. Definitely good character development on and backstory as far as Zeb goes.
Oh, yes.
Learning about the genocide of his people. Not just, you know, enslavement or anything. Straight up genocide of his planet.
Now, I can't help but bring this up.
Mm.
But let's talk about these themes, you know, these genocide, dark, wiping out type themes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm sorry. Kids show my left, my not foot.
Yep.
It's kind of like, people, if you're listening to this and you still are preaching the flag that this is a kid show, take a look at yourself and re-examine a few things, because you are way off.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, well, they said that they, you know, it was going to be, you know, funny and all that, but this is during dark times and all that, and they're not going to shy away from that fact. So, hey, love it.
Well, you know, I mean, I knew from the get-go that wasn't going to be the case shying away, because look at what Disney did with Tron Uprising.
Yes, yes.
There was some pretty dark, intense stuff on that show.
It was reboot meets Batman Beyond.
Right. Again, it's a shame what happened to it eventually, but...
yeah.
But, I just still can't get over that one.
Murdered that show.
Yeah, that just hurts. Where was the Save Tron Uprising campaign?
There was one.
Well, it didn't make as much noise as the Save the Clone Wars. I'll tell you that much.
There was a petition out and all that. But anyways, moving on.
Alright, so we have the Ghost Crew selling the weapons, or trying to sell the weapons, to Visago.
Yes. Oh, real quick. I gotta say, it was great to see the Team Ghost making good use of their burglar in order to get the disruptors.
Oh, yes. Oh, Ezra. Yeah.
Yes, but, you know, I'm sure I'm not the only person that got that, Hobbit vibe, if, you know, saying that the team needed a burglar.
A Hobbit vibe, but a much shorter Hobbit vibe.
Yeah. I just got a kick out of that.
Well, I get a kick out of, and I will say this time and time again, I get a kick out of the fact that they're using John Williams to the fullest.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, between Spark of Rebellion and this episode, Droids in Distress, I have counted on my fingers the amount of original Kevin Kiner stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There really isn't much.
No. Tell you what. I'm itching for some themes, some original character themes. I'm like, you know, where's Zeb's theme? Where's Ezra's theme? In future episodes.
Now wait a minute. I think we did get Zeb's theme, but it was a recycled version of. The basket game.
Yes. I wouldn't. It's not an original piece, so I wouldn't go so far as to call it Zeb's theme.
Well, you know what? Part of my this is what I love with Star Wars Rebels is we're getting this music used and reused and used again. Because part of my hang up with Clone Wars was, and I loved Clone Wars, other than Ambush. And a few other episodes, I can't think of any time that the, like I said last episode, that the John Williams stuff was used as a glorified mixtape.
Yeah.
And it would have made Clone Wars a much stronger series had they had more Kiner Unchained. Instead of Kiner boxed in.
Yeah. But you know, you did get some original pieces in there. Well, actually, you know what? Clone Wars featured a lot of original music, I find.
Well, of course.
Don't you?
Of course it did. And I'm not saying it didn't, but had it mixed the two.
Okay. Yes.
Yes. I can tell, you know, Rebels, the reason it had me more than Clone Wars did is Rebels right out of the gate came out with a huge, like, 77 mixtape of John Williams.
Yes. Yep.
I mean, Spark of Rebellion, it was littered throughout it.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, it was like when mixtapes were a thing, you know, back when we thought they worked for personal relationships.
Yes. Yes.
I'm sure there are some people that still think they work for relationships, but you know what? I hate to be the bearer of bad news. They don't.
No. A good playlist works on that.
Yes. We've gone from mixtapes to playlists.
Yes. Yes, we have. But definitely want to, just like Ahsoka's theme, want some original themes in there. Future episodes.
Oh, yes. And I think eventually we'll get them down the line. But mm-hmm. for now, I don't know about you, but for now, I'm having a real kick out of this John Williams oxygen being turned up to breaking yes. point.
Yeah, me as well.
You know, I'm sure that when David Collins does some of that on his oxygen mm-hmm. series on Rebel Force Radio, that yep. he'll just have a field day with this.
Yes.
You know, we'll be able to see and hear his grin over the internet.
Yeah.
His ear-to-ear Joker Rictus grin.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, we got a pretty impressive ending. 3PO in his usual 3PO, his usual 3PO-ness. Sends a transmission for help, and it ends up being intercepted by Callus, or should I say Logan with those chops?
Oh, the Imperial sideburns.
Yes, Imperial sideburns. Oh, if only I could grow Imperial sideburns. It'd be one heck of a cosplay.
It's the new evil mustache.
Yes. If only Grievous had a mustache. He would have twirled it every episode.
Yes.
Like those old classic villains I'm sure Grievous was derived from.
Yeah. I'm sure I'm not the only one that banged his head against the wall when 3PO bumbled again.
Yeah. Now, did you get the impression, though, that like episode 4, the whole Tantive situation, that this episode felt largely like it was, like we were looking through the photoreceptors of 3PO again?
Yes. And definitely had that, that New Hope vibe with them in there and 3PO like, what secret mission? R2 on a secret mission again, and not letting 3PO in on it again.
Yep. The odds of our and we actually got to hear 3PO say the odds.
Yes.
And I'm like, what are you reversing the Han 3PO bit? That's kind of clever, actually.
Somebody needs to tell R2 that the key to any good relationship is communication.
Yes, but you know what? If R2 could actually communicate with 3PO, I'm sure he'd just be swearing at him.
Probably.
You know, he'd be like, why are you so freaking stupid, man? You know, Chopper is better at communicating because he just says what's on his sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be very polite.
No.
You know, it might turn into a hello hyperspace. That's not what he said.
Yes. Some great Chopper moments in this one. Like Hera telling him to stall him, and then Chopper doing his best, and them running, the stormtroopers and everybody running past Chopper, and he's like, ah! Oh, well, I tried.
True. All right, so there is this big battle. Hera takes some pot shots at some walkers.
Yes.
Now, did you notice that, and Jimmy Mack is probably a better authority on this because he's a sound ear guy, but those blaster sounds from Hera's blaster?
Yes.
Sounded like compressed Grievous coughs. It's fairly compressed, but it sounded like compressed Grievous coughs.
I'll have to listen to that again.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, you know, leave it to Matt Wood to do something like that.
Yep. Yeah.
Or should we say Alan Smithy?
I kept on hearing that it's like a bicycle bell whenever Zeb fires his weapon. Whenever Zeb fires his bow rifle, it's got that ching ching, kind of like that bicycle bell sound to it.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if some kids of Lucasfilm employees influence what they're doing these days.
Oh yeah.
How do you think we ended up with Gungan, for Pete's sake?
And just look at some of the sound effects in Clone Wars. Aurra Sing's sniper rifle being the shot is a baby crying backwards, sped up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I miss Aurra Sing.
Maybe in another season. Who knows?
Well, who knows? She's a little busy now raising James Knight.
True.
So.
Yeah.
Actually, raising James Knight and keeping Kyle Newman honest. So, tough job.
Yes.
Doesn't pay well.
Yeah. But how about that bow rifle fight between Kallus and Zeb?
Oh, dude, that was one of those where, you know, if people are arguing about dark or nonviolent or whatever, one, the themes, and two, that bow fight ought to tell you otherwise.
Yes, it was just awesomely choreographed. But not only that, it was an awesome moment where we got to see just how strategic Kallus is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, calling Zeb out, showing him the weapon. Zeb sees it, knows that he has no right to have it, goes at him in a blind rage, and if you see him, Kallus makes like a couple of offensive strikes, but for the main part stays defensive, feeling him out, getting under his skin some, tells him about the disruptors and that he gave the call for the troops to use him on the Lasat, gets him even more angry, gets him sloppy, and then Kallus makes his moves and he's got him dead to rights.
Oh yeah, I mean, pardon the obvious joke, but we get to see just how callous actually is.
Yeah, good one.
Although, you know, with the fact that the rebels destroyed the first Death Star, mm-hmm. I'm just jumping ahead a bit here. Can you imagine Kallus' weekly review? I mean, his review isn't that good, pal.
Mm.
You know, I want to see something in between, 4 and 5 where that happens and Vader just, you know, beats the living snot out of Kallus.
You have disappointed me for the last time.
Yeah, something Vader would say, very much so.
Yes.
It's like, no wonder he changes sides. He gets bored with these Imperials.
Mm-hmm.
They keep disappointing them.
Yes.
Well, that and this whole, spoiler alert, this whole mm-hmm. them trying to kill his son.
Mm-hmm.
So... It was more than bored, I'll tell you that much. Alright, so Kallus almost has Zeb on the ropes. He's about to strike him down.
Mm-hmm.
And just a sudden, we get, with a healthy dose of John Williams music, no less,
get
Ezra force blasting Kallus backward.
Boom.
You know, Kanan knowing right there that, you know, he can train this boy.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting thing. Why do you think Kanan is so hesitant on training Ezra?
Because something tells me Kanan's training was never finished.
Exactly. Exactly. That's definitely my feeling too.
Well, that and why train a Jedi in a time when they're just gonna end up killed?
Yeah. But I definitely got the idea that, you know, Kanan never finished his training, so yeah, he'd be hesitant on trying to train Ezra.
Absolutely. So, all right, and then, you know, bless my sundered heart, we get the Tantive IV. And
yes,
I'm calling it the Tantive IV. There is no way in the Mustafar 7 levels of Endor that I'm calling it the sundered heart. or even the Tantive. I'm like, what the heck's that about? No, the Tantive IV. Come on, I'm a fan of the mold for it. Give me a break here. So we get Bail Organa.
Bail Organa.
Voiced, of course, by Crisp and Clean with no caffeine. Phil Lamar.
Phil Lamar.
Yes, that's my Phil Lamar right there. Crisp and Clean with no caffeine. And what did you make of that scene? Because to me, that scene is one of those, if you're not jumping out of your skin, bouncing across the room, then
big time.
You have to either reevaluate your card or turn it in.
Goosebumps on goosebumps. This was the scene. This was it. Not only did it ring the nostalgia bells with that kneeling to R2, the Princess Leia scene from New Hope.
Right.
But this was it. This was us seeing the true found of the Rebel Alliance.
Yeah.
You know, you see him talk to R2, have you recorded everything? And he's, we'll deal with the Imperials later, but tell me what you have on your Rebels. And you know that Bail is making a list of all the allies that he can come up with against the Imperials, and that he's making this list for the Rebel Alliance.
Oh yes, definitely. I mean, goosebumps giving birth to goosebumps. I mean, it didn't just ring nostalgia bells, it rang a nostalgia gone.
Yes.
I mean, it's that same hallway in episode 4 where Anakin comes down, so it's like,
yes, yes.
You know, if I could just say to Filoni and crew, because I know they're listening, please do more of that. I don't even care if there's original themes. Just do more of that.
Yes.
So, great. There's my little girl moment right now.
Whew.
All right. Well, that was quite an episode, I would say.
Just, you know, for being the first official episode, this just gave you everything. It really did.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And it also shows how, you know, in theme-wise and violent-wise, you know, the bow fight and whatnot, it just shows the potential of where this could go.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, for this Star Wars fan, it was just a smorgasbord.
Oh, yes, yes, definitely a smorgasbord. Now, we have some news to talk about. We all know Sparker Rebellion showed up.
Yep.
And now we have breaking news, actually. James Earl Jones.
Yes.
James Earl Jones returning to voice Vader in Star Wars Rebels for a Vader scene.
Called that director's cut episode.
No,
I just didn't.
No, well, you know what? Call it a special edition, because you know what this tells me? Fans of George Lucas's special edition tinkering need not worry so much.
Yeah. Yeah, so is this a brand new scene that was filmed, or like I said, was it already filmed in like a director's cut, or is this really an extended edition?
Well, Matt, I have a theory as to what it could be.
Mm-hmm.
You ready to have your mind blown?
Blow it.
All right. We have heard time and time again these flashbacks for Episode 7 involving Vader and the Inquisitors.
Mm.
What if this were the planting of that, and the scene included in Spark of Rebellion is actually Vader and the Inquisitors talking about what's going on? I mean, mind blown all over the wall.
That'd be awesome. That would be awesome.
Oh man. Anyway, it does air. I just want to properly put it out there so people aren't going, where is it?
Mm-hmm.
But it airs October 26th on ABC.
Mm. Now, this is just regular ABC and not ABC Family, right?
I believe it's regular ABC, according to what I read, yeah.
Okay.
Man, how cool is that?
Yeah. Is there any, has there been any talk of to what the scene is? Because I'm trying to avoid spoilers. In the dark?
It's been in the dark, no pun intended with Vader's wardrobe, but it's been in the dark. Mm. My guess is it's that, Inquisitor scene I was talking about, just because it would make sense lining it up with what Episode 7 may do.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Because we know it's all connected. I mean, sorry, Marvel. I know you guys tried to do that, but
well, they're the ones that did it first.
I know, but still, okay. George has been connecting his movies for a long time. It's just the EU that was out of connecting realm.
Yeah, true.
You know, where some people were like, I want the EU to be relevant. I'm like, I'm sorry, but it wasn't. And don't get me wrong, I'm a fan of the EU. I love, some of the stories. There are some stories I could do without. I'm not going to use Fate of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
But, I love the EU stories for what they were.
Yes.
I'm
yes.
just more excited for what could be than, say this whole, give us more Legends, please, outcry.
Yeah, just let Legends be Legends. You know, all this fandom drama, get rid of the drama llama. It smells, it spits, nobody likes it.
Get rid of the drama llama?
Get rid of the drama llama.
Okay, you know what? I want to see you do shirts like that and bring them to Celebration Anaheim.
Done.
Get rid of the drama llama.
Done.
I mean, that's just priceless. and you know what? That llama could have a beautiful, full Mark Hamill beard.
Yeah, oh. Yes. Yes.
It's like, oh, that beard. All right, well, and in other news, this that came out of New York Comic Con, we have a Kanan comic series coming. I believe it kicks off in, what, April?
I believe so.
Yeah. Called Kanan the Last Padawan,
mm-hmm.
and detailing his early days before Rebels,
mm-hmm.
And set as far back as Order 66.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Matt, I'm just going to mention this, and it's a bit of in the category of drama llama.
Uh-huh.
because we've seen it for a while now. But what this tells me is they're not totally, like people were saying, ignoring the Clone Wars era.
Exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be in a television format. It may not be in a movie format, but it is in some kind of format.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I do think there will be a revisit to the Clone Wars era, just not at this point.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Because at this point, with so much coming, it's like, why?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, we're gonna get this comic. And we're also going to get, don't forget, the Quinlan Vos Asajj Ventress story.
Oh, yeah, next year. We're getting that novel as well.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we're still getting stories. It's all good.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, folks, put the drama llama to bed.
Yeah, put him in the stall. Put him in the stall. Put a muzzle on him.
Now, I have another theory I'm just itching to share. I know I'll share it as part of the news, but there's been talk of, and maybe you've heard this, Matt, but there's been talk of Max von Sydow's character in Episode 7.
Yes!
Being a loose connection to the Clone Wars era.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like a veteran of the Clone Wars era.
Yes.
And when he sees a found lightsaber, he becomes loose and starts dropping Clone Wars character names, you know, stuff mm-hmm. like that. I'm sure you've seen these reports as well.
Yes.
Well, here's something that'll blow your mind again.
Fire.
What if that was a war-torn, beaten-up older Kanan?
Oh. Yeah. Mm. I mean, The age would be right.
You know what, at this point, you don't even need to worry about Max von Sydow and the age being right.
No. No.
Considering he's been hanging in there forever.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, he didn't look a spring chicken in Judge Dredd, yet we all loved him.
or his masterpiece, The Seventh Seal.
Yes, just for people's reference, I am talking the Sly Stallone Dredd, not the overdone Carl Urban.
I'm keeping my mouth shut.
Hey, that one was slightly overdone. I did enjoy it, but.
No, it was more to the comic and her. But anyways.
Hey, like I said, though, Lena Headey as Mama, that would scare the shit out of you.
And he kept the helmet on and everything, but...
yeah, speaking of which, can we get Lena Headey in Star Wars, please?
I think she's a little busy.
Yeah, just a bit. You know, filming a super secret nude scene for Game of Thrones. Did you hear about that?
No, I did not.
Yeah, apparently she...
Well, it's Game of Thrones. Moving on.
It is Game of Thrones, so there you go.
But Max von Sydow is, you know, being Kanan. That would be awesome. I could totally get behind that.
Yeah, well, it lines up with the reports that... you know, when he sees the lightsaber, when he's this and that, and age-wise it lines up, because it's Max. I mean, he's got to be, like, what, early 80s?
Yes, yeah.
So I firmly think that he's Kanan in Episode 7.
Whew!
And that will do it for our Rebels news. All right, well, Matt, as always, thank you for your time. And we'll talk again next episode, where I think available on the Disney XD app right now.
Yep.
Sadly, I don't get that app or have a friend who has that app. So
me neither.
So, darn you, Dizzy!
It'd be nice if iTunes could get on the bandwagon.
Be very nice, yes. But you know, no, Disney, we love you. It's just, yes. I don't have the app, so I'm like, darn it. But I'll see you next time as we discuss Fight or Flight.
Ah, can't wait.
I believe that's what the next episode is.
Yep.
Right?
Yes.
And always remember, gang,
stay rebellious.
Thanks for listening to Red 5 Transmissions Radio.
I don't have a shot.
Chopper, do you have the coordinates?
What did he say?
He said hello, hyperspace.
Star Wars and Star Wars Rebels are trademarks of Lucasfilm Limited, Lucasfilm Animation, respectively. All rights reserved. Lucasfilm and Lucasfilm Animation are subsidiaries of the Walt Disney Company.
I am the Inquisitor. Or Boston.
Chopper, get us out of here! Aloha, Chopper, make friends.
Hera, you're good to go.
The hopes of our mission become a complete debacle. Don't you trust me.
I encountered on Stygian Prime.
This podcast is not sponsored or endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or its subsidiary, Lucasfilm.
Have no fear. Help is on the way.
Advance and fire!
There's a lot more at stake than you realize.
What's the worst that could happen?
Red 5 Transmissions Radio is meant for entertainment and information purposes only. All rights reserved.
Well, kid, you pulled it off.
Was there ever any doubt?
Yes.